something for the weekend. How are you? It is Trina Mari here. Now, if you are in the market for a car, we have an expert with us today, Dave Humphreys from CompleteCar.ie. Morning, Dave. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So, the price of cars have skyrocketed, really, haven't they? And we're not just kind of talking about new cars, but secondhand cars as well. Why is that, Dave?
Yes, used car prices. You may have been in for a shock recently if you've started shopping around for a new car. They are a lot more expensive than they used to be. And there's actually a number of factors driving this. There's been a reduction in the number of used vehicle imports from the UK, which is traditionally where a lot of our used car stock came from. There's also fewer new cars being sold because there's various supply chain demands. So basically, there's not enough supply of new cars. And that means people are hanging on to their used cars.
Okay.
There's also not as many trade-ins because of that as well. And therefore, they were cars that would normally feed the used market. So as you would expect, when there's not enough supply, prices go up.
I'm kind of gutted, Dave, because during the pandemic, I sold my car thinking I didn't need one, thinking that it was sitting there in the driveway, getting older, costing me tax and insurance.
Gathering dust, yes.
Gathering dust, and I sold it at a knockdown price to a very lucky person. And now I've realised that secondhand cars are so expensive to buy. I must have been mad to get rid of a perfectly good car.
Yeah, although nobody really expected prices to get as high as they are. Now, what I would say is that they do seem to be starting to soften off a little bit. So my advice would be, if you are looking around, if you're not, you know, if you're not under major pressure to quickly change your car, I would try and hang on a little bit because the values do seem to slightly start coming down.
Oh, really? Would you wait till the new year kind of thing?
Yeah, I think, you know, throughout the next couple of months, we'll probably see some start to come down. Ultimately, I think there's a huge amount of used cars that are just simply overpriced for what they are. And I appreciate the situations in the market, but there just isn't value there at the moment. So if you don't have to do it, I think hold off until prices come down, either by that from garages dropping the prices or more cars coming onto the market.
I think I'll be bussing it and walking for a little bit longer. So the question is, though, Dave, if you are thinking of buying a secondhand car, like, what questions should you be asking?
Okay, so the first thing you need to really look at is, what are you changing from or what are you changing to? And also, you need to look at a lot of things like, how much is this car going to cost you to run, first of all, even if you find one that's within your budget. A lot of reasons people maybe change their cars, they need to get a bigger car, and, you know, because of family commitments or various other things. So what can happen is, go and look at, for example, how much is your insurance at the moment, and is your insurance premium going to increase with this new car? Other things to look at is, does this car have a higher rate of motor tax, for example? So you may find that, oh, this is actually going to cost you a little bit more to run. But also, you need to look around, shop around, and have a look at, not just, you know, you might see one car and go, that's the car I want, but take that model and have a look around and see what else you can find with the same model and see if there's a variance in price. And then when you have it narrowed down, you need to just do a couple of usual checks on the car itself. So do a history check on the car. It's one of the most important things you can do before you purchase.
Now, you're at the point where you're going to view the car and you're going to take it for a test drive. Any things that should be warning signs not to buy it?
So first of all, have a look around the car. Make sure it is as it looks in the pictures or what you've seen online. Do take the car out for a drive. Try, if you can, if you happen to live maybe near where you're seeing this car, go and drive on a route that you're familiar with. So maybe like go and try and organise a test drive that you can drive maybe your route to work, or maybe if you go drop the kids to the school every morning, go and try and drive on a route that you're familiar with, because that will let you, you're already going to be familiar with what the roads are like there. So you're going to have a better idea of what that car is really
like. I get you. If it's bumpy or if it's, yeah, I get you. Yeah,
exactly. Mm. Another thing, obviously, just be very wary. You know, have a look around. I appreciate not everyone is mechanically minded, but have a look, make sure there's no warning lights on the dashboard, make sure everything, you know, you're not hearing anything that sounds wrong with the car, any bumps or clunks or anything like that. You don't want to have anything that's immediately thinking, oh, hang on, is this an issue? And bear in mind, you know, you'll often find that maybe some garages will say, oh, don't worry, we'll sort that out. But really make sure you get, you know, make sure you're entirely happy. If there's a doubt in the back of your mind, walk away. There's so many more cars out there. Don't just get hung up on having the one particular car.
Would you be put off, because this is something I've noticed when I have been looking up cars, cars that have quite a few previous owners. Like, I saw one and it had five previous owners, and I thought to myself, well, why are they all getting rid of the car? Is that a warning sign, or should you not be put off by that kind of thing?
Again, it very much depends on the particular car. So I would look at things like, what age is the car? What mileage is the car? And again, there's probably other checks that you need to do further down the line. But bear in mind as well, for example, if a company buys a company car, for example, they might run that for a year and then sell it off. That's initially one owner on the car, you know. So it can, you would typically expect to see on a car that's maybe 5 years old, on average, it wouldn't be uncommon to see two owners, two previous owners.
Right.
If you see a car that's a year old and it's got six owners, I'd be kind of, that would immediately be setting off alarm bells in my head.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, a lot of people will tend to own a car, particularly with newer cars and because of finance rates, that they'll probably own a car for maybe 2 to 3 years and then they'll change it. So depending on when the car was registered, etc., you can have, you know, 2 or 3 owners on a car that might be 5 years old or 6 years old. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't initially be worried about that as such. But and bear in mind, there's always unusual circumstances where somebody might have just bought the car. Maybe they've lost their job and they've had to sell the car, you know, so they've become an owner, but maybe not for very long with the car. It doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong with the car.
Or somebody I know who bought a beautiful car. I can't remember what was it? Might have been an Audi or something. As soon as they drove the car out of that forecourt, they found out the following week they were pregnant and the car just was not going to work with a baby
exactly.
in the back.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know, I've often frequently heard of people, again, coming back to what I mentioned about insurance, I've often heard of people buying a car and then realising afterwards that they can't get, when they go and get the insurance, that they can't get insured on their particular car because the engine's too big or the value is too high.
Yeah.
So again, do all your homework well in advance with this. I mentioned car history checks. There's a few that you can do, the likes of Cartel, for example. They do one. Really, really, really important that you do before you buy a car. Even if you're buying a car from a reputable dealer, get the registration, get the details of the car, spend the whatever it is, 20, 25 euros on getting the check done, because it just will give you an added peace of mind. It's the one thing I would really recommend everyone does.
Yeah,
just
I mean, 20 quid is nothing really.
Yeah. And it could be a case of, it's not necessarily that the garage selling you the car might be trying to pull a fast one. It might be something that they've missed. I would just for that added peace of mind, if you're spending a lot of money on a car, for the 20, 25 euro that you're going to spend on it, it's well worthwhile.
What would you consider to be too high of a mileage to even think about? I've seen quite a few cars, and not even that cheap, and the mileage is just crazy. I assume it doesn't matter if the car is new-ish, it's all about the mileage.
Yeah, well, it's not only just about the mileage. What I would actually really look at is beyond the mileage is service history of the car. Because the one thing is, if I see a car that has 200,000 kilometres on it, I know it's worked. It hasn't been off the road. It hasn't been broken down. And, you know, there are a lot of people, particularly in Ireland, that maybe do relatively long commutes. So they might, you know, you might have somebody that maybe works in Dublin but has to go to Cork maybe once or twice a week. That can very quickly drive up the mileage. Motorway miles generally aren't that hard on a car in terms of, you know, wearing a car down any quicker. So I wouldn't be necessarily worried about it. I would want to see if a car had very high mileage. Has it been serviced, you know, according to it, how it should have been serviced? I would be very, very wary that with all cars, I would always do a check on the mileage, you know, make sure that it tallies with what is on the last NCT certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's very, very easy to adjust the mileage on a car. It's something that happens very frequently, and you just want to make sure that what you're buying is genuine.
Does a car give up when it gets to a certain mileage?
Not necessarily. I mean, there's a very famous story of a guy in the US that had a Volvo with 3 million miles on it. So, no, if a car is properly maintained, it will, in theory, just keep going, you know. But unfortunately, after a while, when you'll get to a certain point where you're having to replace so many things and change so many mechanical parts that it just becomes financially unviable to do.
Yeah.
But in theory, you absolutely could just keep it going. But most people just go, it's just not worth it. When we went from miles to kilometres, kilometres seem a lot higher than miles. So 160,000 kilometres is 100,000 miles. So the kilometre figure will seem higher than it would have traditionally done. You know, we might think of 60,000 miles on a car as too much, but then when you convert it to kilometres, it seems like a lot higher.
A little Ford Fiesta went by me the other day and it was a 94D. I couldn't believe my eyes. And it actually looked fairly new because somebody really looks after their car there.
Absolutely. And that's the kind of car that you really want to buy. You know, if you're looking at a car and you can see that it's always been serviced, it's clean, it's well looked after, chances are you're going to be okay buying that car. Mm-hmm. That's a car that somebody has looked after.
And the fact that we all have to have the NCT now, it's not like in the 80s where it was bangers like going around the place.
Anything went. Yeah. As cars get older, you move into a territory where it has to get an NCT every year. Newer cars, it's every second year. So again, coming back to what I said earlier about cost, that's another thing that you have to bear in mind as well, that as cars get older, they will require more maintenance, they will require an NCT every year as well.
Yeah.
So the idea is, it's frustration for owners of older cars, because usually people have older cars because they can't afford a newer car. So, you know, it kind of just adds up the cost to it. And the NCT is something to also really consider when you're buying a used car. If you see a car and it's just past its NCT, that's just an added peace of mind. It means it's just been recently seen. You don't have to worry about the NCT for probably another 9 or 10 months.
That reminds me, actually, Dave, there are some insurance companies that won't insure your car if it is over 10 years old or 12 years old or whatever. So that's another thing to check out, as you were saying, checking out your insurance. If you are buying a car, is there a better option? Like, are you better off going to a garage or private seller? What would your opinion be on that?
Depends on the sort of car that you're looking for. There's pros and cons between buying privately and buying from a garage. So traditionally, a car you could buy from a garage, a used car, is going to cost you more than somebody privately selling a car. But with that, most garages will offer some kind of warranty. They're going to give you a little bit more cover. If something goes wrong, you have a place that you can go back and go, hey, we need to sort this out. If you buy a car privately, it's going to be probably slightly cheaper, but you have far less comeback.
It's buyer beware.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Question for you about buying up north. Is that working out any cheaper, or is it just the same when it comes to getting the VRT? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, with everything that's gone on with Brexit, importing a car from the UK has gotten a lot more expensive with duties. It's not quite the case with Northern Ireland, but it's a bit tricky because the only way you get an exemption on some of the import duties is that if the car was originally sold in Northern Ireland. Now, it's not quite that easy to check whether that's been done, so that's something you have to be very wary of. If you see a car that's for sale in Northern Ireland, first of all, you still have to get the VRT. That's a bit of an unknown with some cars. It's not just literally a case of you can get an idea, but until you actually present the car for VRT here, you won't get an exact figure on what it is. The car being originally sold in Northern Ireland, you're going to be better off. But if there's a car that is for sale in Northern Ireland, but it was originally registered in the UK, that will qualify for higher duties. There is a chance that you could end up getting labored with a much higher bill than you maybe initially planned. I wouldn't recommend people don't do it, but it is just a case of you have to be very wary. You have to go into it. Yeah, really do your research.
Because you've got in some cases, the sterling
really
conversion as well. It's so much to think about, yeah.
Exactly. You could look at one car and then a week later when you go to buy it, suddenly it's going to cost you a couple of hundred euro more because the exchange rates have shifted. It can be done. Wouldn't recommend you do it if you're not entirely clued in about what you're going to do. But if it's something very particular, you've really done your homework, there's no reason not to do it, but just beware.
And Dave, thoughts on electric cars? If someone is thinking about switching the car, is it something that we're ready for, or would you hold off for a while?
No, I would absolutely go for it now. The one thing I would just always ask, whenever people ask us on Complete Car about switching, and we get a huge amount of people asking about switching cars now on the website, is that look at how you're going to set up your home charger. I still say that a home charger is absolutely essential to having an electric car. If you can't charge at home, you're going to run into frustrations. It can be done. You're just making life a bit harder for yourself. So that means, look, I appreciate there's a lot of people that can't do it. If you live in rented accommodation, if you live in an apartment complex or you've on-street parking, it's almost impossible to get a home charger installed. So that will preclude you. But if you can get a home charger installed, so if you've got a driveway or a garage, going electric is a no-brainer. You will save so much money.
Yeah, it's quite a big output at the beginning, isn't it? I mean, they
can
are
be
pricey.
Yes. Yeah. They are. Now, the prices are coming down and there are more used electric cars coming on the market, and I would not worry about buying a used electric car either. A lot of people have concerns about the batteries, but there's really nothing to worry about in that respect. But you will save so much money longer term. If you're going to keep that car for a couple of years, yes, you might spend a little bit more buying it up front, but your fuel cost, you know, the cost of refilling that battery really comes down an awful lot over the course of the years. You'll also have, you know, less maintenance because, you know, these cars are cheaper to maintain because they don't have engine oil and things like that to have to service. And also your motor tax rates are the lowest around.
Did I read somewhere that tolls are free as well for electric cars, or am I making that up?
Tolls aren't free, but you do get a reduction on your tolls as well. Yeah. So when you get an electric car, it's very important that you sign up. If you've got like an e-toll tag, sign up, log in, make sure that they know. And what happens is you then get a rebate on your tolls.
And they still need the NCT and all that, do they?
Yes. So the electric cars still have to go through the same thing. But again, as I mentioned earlier, they don't have as many mechanical things. So they are much easier, much more efficient to get through an NCT as well. So you have far fewer things to worry about.
Dave, I'm going to put you on the spot very quickly, and I'm going to end with these three questions. The best car for tall people or people who have kids in the back that need legroom?
There's a few cars. One thing I would look at, cars like the Citroën C5 Aircross SUV
have movable
rear seats. Yeah. So the rear seats can slide forward and back. That can add a lot more room to your car. Other cars, stuff like a Skoda Superb is a saloon car, has probably the best legroom of any car going. Absolutely huge inside.
Okay. The best car for boot space?
For boot space, again, I'd probably look at something like a Skoda Octavia. The one thing I would say as well is if people need more boot space, don't look at an SUV, look at an estate car, because they will have not only more space than their saloon counterpart, but they're generally a boxier shape. That means you can just fit more into it.
Yeah, our other car, now I'm carless, but my other half has the estate. It's a Hyundai i40, and the two Labradors and everything go in the boot. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And final one for you. If you're buying a first car, say you've got a learner driver in the family, what would you suggest?
So I would suggest a small car to begin with. Something you mentioned earlier, Ford Fiesta, a really good option to go for because they're relatively compact. If it's a first car for a learner driver, I wouldn't spend a huge amount of money on it because there's a good chance you might get a few dings and a few scrapes on it.
Yeah.
So whatever you do, don't go and buy a brand new car. But I would get a car that's relatively small, relatively easy to drive, a petrol manual car, something like a Suzuki Swift or an Opel Corsa along those lines. It just means that it's very easy to drive so that they're not concerned about driving it. They can just concentrate on what's going on the road and improve their road craft in that respect.
Yeah, and not a bad idea, you know, to get a car that doesn't have all the sensors and the cameras and everything so they actually learn how to park a car in the normal way. My first car, a Renault 5, and I had no handbrake. What was your first car, Dave?
My first car, I started driving in my dad's Nissan Micra. That was the very first car I drove. Again, super simple, but it was, you know, it was absolutely, you set me off on the right course.
Well, Dave, thanks so much. There is Dave Humphreys from CompleteCar.ie. Will you come back on again?
Absolutely. And if anyone has any questions, either send them in to yourself, visit us on Complete Car. More than happy to come on and answer more questions.
Oh, you're very good. Thanks a million, Dave. It is something for the weekend and Ireland's Classic Hits.